The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. Keith and Jonathan each have over 25 years spearheading business transformation programs for Fortune 1000 companies. Keith Koo is an expert on marketing and advertising, risk management, and risk mitigation. Jonathan Ziegler's background is in enterprise sales, management consulting, and marketing. Together, they're the managing partners of Guardian Insight Group, leveraging the diverse knowledge in industries such as technology, financial services, fintech, healthcare, energy, and retail. And they're here to help you break out from your current mindset, make a revolutionary shift in your business goals, and achieve greater success. Now, your hosts for Guardian Insights, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and in the studio today is my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. Last week, we were starting off on a topic around how to save money or cut costs without cutting people. And we had talked a lot about how to achieve telecom savings throughout the enterprise. We also got on the topic of what usually inhibits people from taking on these strategies inside their corporations.
Yeah, so Keith, this is one of the things that's really interesting to me. And we talked a lot about ego last week, and I'm not knocking it because we all have them. I have a big ego. I think mine's the size of Texas, but that's because I'm a sales guy. And I think one of the things that we have to make recommendations on and that I want to try and get across to our audience is this isn't about ego. This is about being successful in business. This is about shareholder or stakeholder value. This is about building a strong value proposition for your company as a producer of a product or a service or a solution provider. So what I wanted to wrap up with from last week was pretty simple. It's not about your ego. It is about your ego. What it is it's about you making a decision to bring somebody like us in and talk a little bit more with us about figuring out where we can help, because this is not going to go away. This is kind of one of those challenges that's going to come up again and again and again. And I think we talked a little bit about this earlier off the air. About three main reasons why somebody should engage with Guardian Insights as an example, or a customer, you know, situation where it's ideal for them to bring us in as an independent observer or third party. So let's talk a little bit about those three ideas.
Sure. So I think it goes back to what you're just alluding to, Jonathan, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So the example we had just touched on last week was one of our clients had an edict was given that they shall cut costs. And this is not a small organization. This is a very large, well-known organization. And they had to cut costs by 10% over the next 12 months. And we were literally called in the final week of a quarter, and the costs were starting the following week.
Right.
And they were asking us, well, the only way we could achieve that type of savings in our mind was to cut people. But instead, we had offered them a chance to go through an assessment of, well, of course, it's logical to think that you can cut people. People are usually considered a large expense. But instead, why don't we go through a methodology to understand what your layout of expenses are, look through your agreements, look at ways that you might not even be aware of that there's hidden cost savings available.
So this is something that's more than just kind of the CFO's purview of things. This is not just the CIO's purview of things. This is kind of a holistic purview of things. And this is something that we talk about as being kind of our intellectual property or our advantage. And, you know, this is interesting to me too, because I remember this situation and the first thing they did want to do is lay off, I think, 40% of their people. And then you wind up with a situation where people are doing more work with a lot less hands. And that in and of itself can actually detour or decrease from the ability for the company to actually be successful. We've also talked about how this ties into profitability down the road too, because companies that raise their prices, for example, think that that's the way to do it as well. And we've counseled on both sides. So keep going.
Yeah. So in this particular example, we had gone through some initial set of analysis and offered them a chance to cut significant costs without touching their people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, back to fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They're a little bit doubtful that they could achieve or implement these actions in a short time frame, and therefore the postmortem on that, they did lay off not 40%, but they did lay off a significant amount of people. But in hindsight, the next fiscal year started, and this particular organization, again, not a small organization, they didn't realize that by laying people off, they were now stuck with a significant amount of expenses related to severance packages.
Sure. And a lot of people do understand, or they think they understand what the ramifications of a layoff are, but sometimes they don't. Now, granted, we deal with customers of all sizes, shapes, and public and private entities, so it's a different story for everybody. But the reality is whenever you end up in a situation like that, if you're going to be competitive down the road, you have to make sure that your people don't. This is the other consideration. There's a human element to this that we don't always look at, and you and I look at this differently, which is you can't let people go in a bad way, so to speak, because what happens with a disgruntled former employee? Well, there's social media, there's aspects of repercussions that can come down the pike. We've actually talked to, or I've talked to several of the larger consultancies that do people consulting, and the first thing they say is give them a good package so that they speak highly of you as opposed to negatively of you when you let them go.
Right. And this is a slightly different topic, but a great point around layoffs in general or letting folks go. You really don't necessarily know what type of activities that can happen. So we look at the Sony breach, data breach from several years back. That was a disgruntled employee who outright was stealing data and was caught after many, many, many months and already left the company.
Right.
And then even last week, wasn't it Donald Trump's Twitter handle?
Yeah.
There was an employee, don't know if that was on good terms or bad terms, but that employee decided that they would
shut off his account.
Yes, for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So this all goes back to what we were talking about in a previous episode, planning.
Yeah.
So even in a layoff or even in a cost savings mode, having a proper plan, understanding all the ramifications and implications of the choices you make should empower you, instead of having the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, having actual certainty or some certainty of the actions you're taking and what the effect will be.
Yeah, so this is important for a lot of reasons, and I think one of the most important things that we talk about all the time and that we've talked about in previous shows is that you and I look at this from a, let's call it a chess game. We look at it 7 to 10 chess moves down the road, whereas a lot of people are operationally focused and maybe tactically focused, they don't always see that 7 to 10 chess moves down the road, which, like you talked about with our customer last year, they did have a layoff, but it wasn't 40%. It was a little less than that. But what they also didn't realize was that they didn't plan for X, which was the additional amount involved. What we like to look at, and this is where I think it's important for our audience to hear, we look at a lot of different things that a lot of people take for granted. There are a lot of little minutiae that you as the business owner or you as the C-level executive don't have time for, and you have a cadre of people that you trust and you rely on to do that. Those two subsets of people are going to be important for you. But what we do is we think about those little things that they're not going to necessarily see either.
Right. And this is really the whole concept around risk management or enterprise risk management, to your point, Jonathan, is that we're looking at many different aspects of your organization so that one decision you're making in technology in your IT group, that might have repercussions throughout your entire company. And it applies to facilities. It applies to HR. It applies in lots of different manners. And that's what we really think. Most people will hear risk management like, oh, that's such a boring topic because somebody else is supposed to care about that. Your chief risk officer is supposed to care about that.
If you have one. And that's another consideration too.
Right. And chief risk officer or chief compliance officer, especially for established companies, if you don't have something like that, you're really flying blind.
And that's a service that we offer. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, the interim or the active risk management team for you.
Yeah. And you're opening up yourself to lots of criticism, regulatory or otherwise. And that's why when we had Park and DeBage on a couple of episodes back talking about blockchain regulation, they have clients that they focus on specifically for you started something, you get caught or stuck in a situation, you need some help.
Right. Yeah. It's a very good point. And I think it's one of those things where looking at how we perceive danger to a customer or a prospect today isn't necessarily the same danger that the CEO or the CFO is looking at. And that's a big consideration for us too. So we'll wrap this part up for now, but I want to bring this back maybe in another show in the future. But when we come back, we'll be discussing a little bit further on the cost savings, a little bit more on the cost savings ideas that we started last week. And you can reach us at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz, or toll free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. We'll be back shortly.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level, with your host Keith Koo and my co-host Jonathan Ziegler. We had just finished in our last segment talking about cost savings, techniques around that, why there might be some hesitation for companies to pursue actual cost savings versus cutting people. But we wanted to get more into some use cases around things you should really be thinking about if you don't want to cut people. How do you actually start cutting real cost?
Yeah. So this is one of those situations where we talk a lot with our customers and prospects and our clients about technology as either an enabler or a detractor. And I wanted to bring that in too, Keith, because this is a big deal in Silicon Valley and globally right now, where there's a lot of movement to cloud technologies and options around not having something on-premise. And I think there's a call for everything in its place and maybe a place for everything, to borrow from an old comedian. But at the same time, there's risks around each of those areas and each of those challenges that CIOs face, CFOs face, the companies themselves look at from where they can actually put data, how they can put data there. And we've talked about breaches and so on in the past, as well as some of the challenges around what technology enables. So let's talk a little bit about enabling versus detraction.
Sure. So as an enabler, I think probably in the fifth or sixth year journey of many organizations moving away from having to own their own physical data centers,
mm-hmm.
And moving to, quote unquote, the buzzword of the last several years is the cloud.
So let's take this incrementally if we can, because this is important. I think we talk about some of our partners that we've had in on the show already, but others that we also have in our quiver, so to speak, of arrows. One of the partners that we've used in the past has to do with disposal of assets for a data center. And I think that's a big concern for a lot of people when they look at whether they're moving completely to the cloud or partially a cloud. What do they do with the assets that they own today? So that's one example.
Right. And I think to your suggestion of starting from the beginning, companies want to get rid of data centers because they're just one of the most significant expenses.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back just to high-level expenses to a technology organization here in Silicon Valley, when we talk about indirect spend, so spend that's not related to the creation of your product, usually, and let's park people, so the HR group and all the employees you have, the two largest spends are usually around technology infrastructure or marketing.
And real estate. And I guess real estate kind of fits in number one.
No, that'd be the third. You're right.
Yeah.
But in terms of things that you can influence, what people view facilities as kind of a sunk cost as well.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So with data center, you've got both the technology and the facility component of it.
Right.
There's also the HR component that people have to run that data center for you.
Right.
So as companies like Amazon or Google or Microsoft or Alibaba, all these companies decided, hey, we have lots of physical infrastructure. Why didn't we start setting up virtual environments for ourselves, and then we have all this extra capacity? So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
All these companies said, hey, we build out these data centers for ourselves. They're being unused because of the seasonality of being a retailer. Hey, we should rent out this space. And that's where a lot of the largest clouds have gotten started.
Yeah.
Now you run a data center. You're a CIO or you're the head of facilities or both, and you're saying, hey, I could save a lot of money by not having to carry this expense anymore.
Right.
So it's a it's a very arduous planning process to convince your board and your leadership team that we no longer want to be in the data center business.
Right.
But oftentimes it's a pretty easy conversation to have that says, hey, look at all the analysis we've put together. We could save XYZ amount of millions or in some cases billions of dollars over the long run if we just took this step. Mm-hmm. But now going to the theme of what we've talked about in previous episodes, there are people who can have the idea, have all the great intent, but not really understand all the nuances involved.
Right.
And so this is where it comes into, hey, have you thought about, so even before talking about an asset disposal company, it's as we are adopting this cloud technology, as we enter the cloud, we have all these old assets. One, do we know how to, if everything was off those servers, all that technology, could we decommission the servers itself? Or what would stall us from actually being successful with the migration? So, you know, I've been in situations where you can certainly sign a contract with a cloud provider and you can certainly say, hey, we can move our applications, our data into the cloud. But a lot of times people get very stuck in the middle of that. And now you already have your existing expense on the data center.
Right.
And you have your new cloud expense and it's a multi-year agreement. You're stuck. And there's a really famous example of this that I can talk about because there's been white papers written, is Groupon.
Yeah. I remember Groupon. They were my customer.
Groupon decided that they were going, several years back, Groupon decided, hey, we need to save money. We're going to go into the cloud. And the cloud they chose after, they knew right away that they had totally misarchitected that solution and were ending up paying far more, multiples more of what they could have if they just stayed on premise or in their own co-location facility.
Right.
And it took them, I think, an equal amount of time to exit the cloud as it did to get into the cloud. And now they had to carry both costs that entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big deal too. I think one of the business considerations around this is, you know, what's the architecture? That's a really big deal. It's got to be the business and the IT organizations working side by side, lockstep, trying to figure out what makes sense. Because in some cases, and we've both been in both situations where we've talked to a company that has, they've adamantly made the decision that they're going to the cloud at all costs. And then they suddenly realize, ooh, maybe not such a good idea. The board may not encourage it or even allow it because of the nature of the data or the costs associated. And it could be a combination of both.
So we've talked in previous episodes, like in the technology world, there are rocket builders and rocket riders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of connotation to that. When we talk about how to run a business, there are people who build businesses and people who maintain businesses.
Yeah.
And I think when you think about how to get from your traditional data center into a cloud technology, people forget that both those components are very important.
So what's the biggest hang up, I mean, from what you've seen in the past or the biggest challenge that you've seen in the past where somebody says to you in the hallway, for example, or at the water cooler, you know, just to carry that pun a little bit, what's the biggest challenge that you see from somebody saying, hey, I'm really interested in why we're doing the move or why we're going to transition out of this one version of technology to this newer, faster, sleeker, supposedly approach to technology. And then they come back, you know, 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, and they say, well, what were we thinking? What's the biggest challenge that you see or that you've experienced in that kind of realm around, hey, we made a mistake. Now what?
Well, you know, it's funny because you're the Uber sales guy, right? I think what happens is people get really caught up in selling a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in legacy times or olden times, you could basically say, I just build and somebody else handles the maintenance or how to operationalize all that. You really have to have that concept before you're adopting these new technologies, emerging technologies, whether it be cloud or if we want to get even more esoteric, artificial intelligence, machine learning.
Sure.
You really have to architect this concept well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think we'll continue this conversation in our next segment because there's a lot to this. And I think it's a really interesting conversation, especially like you brought in the AI and the ML and the other nuances around the new technologies and the newer avenues that are being pursued by some of our companies in the Valley, as well as some of our customers. So, It's a really interesting consideration from my perspective, and I think we need to talk a little bit further about it. So when we come back, we're going to have Keith address one of the biggest challenges that I think is interesting, which is talking to the board of directors about why a decision to move to the cloud is so important. We're going to go ahead and take a break here. It's Guardian Insights with Keith Kuh and Jonathan Ziegler. You can reach us at Guardian Insights, GIGSV.biz. That's GIGS as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz. Or you can reach us toll free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. And we'll be back shortly.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Kuh and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Kuh, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. And we were having a very heavy conversation in our last segment around things that inhibit cost savings versus laying off people, and some of the design elements in relation to that. So when I say design elements, we're getting to a point where I think we got used to organizations being run in silos. So you have your IT department, you have your HR department, your facilities group, your marketing group, your product folks.
Sales.
Sales. And it all makes a lot of sense when you're running a very large organization. But with some of these emerging technologies, a lot of this is coming together, whether these organizations are prepared or not.
So coalescing the different organizational necessities around one centralized services organization,
right?
Shared services, for example. Yeah.
Yeah.
Better way of putting it.
Absolutely. There's a really good story from a few years back where a company got acquired by a very large technology firm. And immediately after they were acquired, like literally when you get acquired, there might be a closed period of, say, 60 days.
Right.
On the 60th day, that entire group was then told that they were no longer required. They were actually just acquired for the technology.
Yeah, summarily dismissed the people.
Yeah, and not that the principals of the company didn't make a lot of money.
Right.
But they felt like jilted lovers. They felt really bad about it. And they literally had their next concept and company up and running in 72 hours.
Right. That's the beauty of technology, right? As an enabler, as we talked about in the last segment as well, the enabling versus the detraction, right? This was an enabled situation where the principals of the previous company figured out very quickly that they weren't happy with the outcome and went and started another one. And I think this has happened a lot of times recently where we've talked about situations like this in the past.
Right. And some of these companies have become very successful startups. We call them repeat startups. They strike gold over and over again.
Yep.
But back to the episode we had with Doug Park of Park and DeBodge, attorneys at law, with these emerging technologies, especially around blockchain, starting a company within 72 hours may not be such a good idea unless you know not just the infrastructure requirements, but you also know the legal and regulatory requirements.
Right. The business side has to play very nicely with the technology.
Right.
And that's a big consideration. I think we've beaten this dead horse, but it's one of those things that needs to be repeated over and over again. There's a challenge to the board of directors in a publicly traded company or the C-level executives in a publicly traded company, as well as the challenge to the rank and file. And that is, what do you do best and why are you doing it that way for your company or with your company's technology or solution that they provide or their product that they provide or their service they provide? Why do you do what you do? And it's all ultimately about money. It's ultimately about making money. It's ultimately about increasing cash flow. It's about increasing shareholder or stakeholder value. Those are the principles in the core. We get that. But what the challenge tends to be is, if you're in that silo that you described a little bit ago and you're in HR, your focus is only on people or the process around people, keeping them, hiring them, retaining them, incenting them, making sure that the rewards are there so that they're happy, so that they keep working and doing a better job and they increase the cachet of the company. And then they turn around and they hire my friend because he does the same thing I do, only he's cheaper.
Right.
So there's that. So what do we do when we come into a situation and we've got this whole, you know, as I said in the last segment, buzzword bingo around, hey, I want to be on the cloud. I want to evolve into the next generation cloud. I don't want to be left behind. I want a blockchain. I want to have all this stuff implemented. And you're trying to sell this to the board of directors as a solution. That's what I wanted to bring back in this segment is you're going to tell us why this is not necessarily a good idea or why it might be a good idea.
Well, I think it's actually much easier to sell to the board than people think. I think that for those who have been in front of their boards of directors and they get in order to speak in front of your board of directors, usually you've reached or obtained a certain level within your organization to have that. And so there's some built-in trust already when you get to that level.
Right.
And once you start presenting to them, you get a feel for how they act. But back to what you just said, Jonathan, about a holistic view.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the situation now where everyone gets to become an expert in IT. So the marketing folks, the HR folks, the Workday is a great example of a quote-unquote cloud technology that you may never have a conversation with an IT person about if your organization isn't set up where you have to go through a toll gate. And so suddenly your head of HR becomes a cloud expert because she or he decides, hey, I want to save cost by adopting this new HR platform.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're saying there is that's probably a really easy sell or a relatively easy sell to the board of directors. I can save a lot of expense with this new HR system that's going to be able to track all our employees, be able to track what benefits they're getting.
Expense management. Expense management. It does everything.
Right. Again, back to if your HR person doesn't happen to be also an expert in data privacy or in the laws of regulations of employee privacy in other countries.
It's like GDPR and bringing in the whole privacy issues.
Right. And so how that ties back to us is we love risk management, not for the sake of risk management, but that it touches every organization.
Yeah.
And so when you bring us in for an engagement, you can basically say, hey, we're thinking about adopting the cloud. And back to the cloud being this nirvana-like destination that all these people are talking about, very few people actually take the time to understand what all the implications are.
Yeah.
And we tie that together. We're going to say, hey, by adopting this technology, it's going to affect your HR, your legal, your compliance, your international, all these other factors that you might not be thinking about.
Yeah, it's a big deal to me. I mean, it's one of those things where you can casually throw out, we're moving to the cloud. And by the way, there's a lot of companies out there that would say you're already behind if you haven't already made that decision, right? Because it's a new dawn tomorrow when everybody is saying, hey, we're already on the cloud. You're way behind. You know, they're kind of thumbing their nose at it at a competitor, for example. But the reality is that can backfire as well. If you move too fast, it's the same with any situation that we come into where if you're talking about making a holistic change or a wholesale change of something, you are actually going to be moving too fast potentially and could make mistakes like we talked about with Park and DeBage. It becomes a real issue around legal, regulatory, the financial data, the privacy data, and all the other aspects that we've discussed today, for example. Those become really, really intriguing to an individual, for example, the CFO. What is the impact to him? How is he going to be able to sign off on financial statements if he knows full well that they've got a privacy issue? How is he going to be able to avoid regulatory scrutiny if he's got a challenge that he's aware of that he hasn't fixed? Those are all really big deals and smoking guns to me about, you know, potential for conflict down the road.
Right. If when we had Jedediah Yuel on our show talking about his new book, Disrupt or Die, he has a chart in there talking about the maturity of boards and technology companies.
Right.
And it was really interesting because it was saying that you don't reach an A for your board unless every single member of the board had previously been involved with product design or product development, even the HR person, even the general counsel.
Yeah.
Right. And this is where I think back to the holistic view.
Hmm.
I think younger companies have no legacy and have no history with operations. So their challenge is different. They can jump into the cloud pretty quickly. And there's a lot at stake for them as they get their company going, but there isn't as much at stake in terms of really messing with a lot of embedded processes or people.
Well, that's reputational risk
because
it's building their reputation as they grow and as they go. And if they don't have that cachet they don't have an issue necessarily. People involved may, like the founders and the board members may, or the founders and the founding officers may, but that's not going to be necessarily as impactful as, say, an existing company making a transition.
Right. And the conversations you and I are having most recently with VCs and private equity firms, they are starting to care. They are starting to see what happened. I mean, Theranos was a great example of a rocket builder. I mean, they had that whole concept of democratizing laboratory analysis and results. And, you know, we were pretty clear what happened in that story. A lot of their allegedly their information was falsified to some degree. In terms of the method that they said that they were promoting, over 90% of their samples were not using the method they actually created.
Right, because we understand because of the publicly available documentation that they were using existing labs.
Right.
Nothing had changed.
Right.
It was just a rebranding and a remarketing. That's really all it was.
And that's what got them into trouble.
Right. And that's a regulatory issue waiting to explode simply because of the fact that they were going to go public, or they went public. And, you know, I'm not saying them specifically, but in a general situation, if a company's going to go public, the scrutiny becomes 100x what it was before. And in Theranos's case, that scrutiny got to the point where they finally figured out that there was fraud going on.
And that's really what we're seeing with cloud technology when we bring up cloud, is a lot of companies are failing to understand the reputational risks involved with that type of a technology.
And why is reputational risk a big deal today in Silicon Valley, if you could answer that?
Well, I think reputational risk, not just for Silicon Valley, but for every company, becomes a really big deal just because of the speed of information. I mean, we have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we have all types of news outlets. And then we get into, was it fake news or regular news, what have you. But the speed of bad news hitting is very fast.
Okay. So one of the things that I think is really important here too is this whole safety and security thing. We've talked about Equifax. We've talked about lots of data breaches in the past. What else is there that we need to be thinking about as the – so this is the me as the consumer, but also as the company employee. You know, what am I going to be contributing to the potential risks here around safety and security?
Well, I think that a lot of companies, especially in banking, they've done a lot of work the last few years in ensuring that all employees of these financial institutions take certain certifications every year. So, for instance, a data privacy course, lots of things around fraud and anti-money laundering. So there's a lot of education happening around safety and security. But again, not everyone understands this in a practical sense of how that relates to technology. It's more of an academic, like we go through this 2-hour webinar about what data privacy is and how we answer these questions. So I think the individual feels in some sense more educated and empowered, but have they actually come up on a day-to-day basis with having to make that decision? Probably not.
No, because it's not real world. They haven't had a practical opportunity to apply it.
But I think this is where, and we'll do this in our next segment, just the question overall that we should ask and we can try to answer is it safer to move into the cloud?
That's a really good question. So when we come back, we're going to answer that question. I'm gonna hold you to that. Okay. So we'll be right back. This is Guardian Insights with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. You can reach us at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G-S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz. Or toll free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and in the studio with me is Jonathan Ziegler. Today's show, we've been talking a lot initially about cost savings as a follow-up to our last show. And really, then we've gotten into cost savings techniques. And one dominant one in many industries right now is this concept of moving, quote-unquote, into the cloud. So we talked about all these different use cases of moving the cloud. It's actually quite a broad statement to make. It's something that's easily sold, or more easily sold to boards of directors and or finance executives when you're trying to show or justify a cost savings. And really the question comes up time and time again sometimes preferably before the fact, but then sometimes often after the fact, is it really safer to move to the cloud?
So recapping, because I want to make sure I'm understanding this. We've talked about how selling to the board, so to speak, and I put selling in quotes, to the board, the idea of moving to the cloud can always be managed as a cost savings consideration. That's a given, because they believe right off the bat, or the individuals who are presenting to the board believe right off the bat, that it is less expensive to go to the cloud. We've proven that that's not always the case, and we've seen it with Groupon in the Valley, where you have to carry both costs if you screw up. Well, I'm not saying that they did, but if you do, that's a problem. And then, you know, the other consideration is, we've been talking about forever, is safety. And is the cloud inherently more safe than having an on-premise solution? So that's the question. What's the answer?
Well, the answer is, it depends.
It always depends.
One thing to understand about Guardian Insight Group, our practice, is that we partner with all the major cloud providers, and we also partner with all the major data center providers. So in that sense, we can say depends, because it really does.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you are a very, very large organization who has a lot of your own infrastructure, it absolutely may make sense for you to go to the cloud, because some of the hidden costs that people never realize are in the cloud, they'll never see, because the large organization has other infrastructure that augments that cloud. And why I'm saying that is, for Guardian Insight, we can go in, look at your infrastructure in totality. So whether you're in a data center, whether you're in a co-location, or whether you're already operating in a cloud, we can tell you whether or not that's the most efficient.
Yeah, the variations of the different types of cloud opportunity, what data is stored where, what's in the cloud versus not in the cloud, what could be versus not be.
Yeah. So when people automatically assume, because that's the current trend, that going to the cloud is going to be cheaper, there's a lot of other factors involved. So when we talk about a project starting from scratch, and this is a regulatory requirement for banks, the regulators say they want five phases in the life cycle of a project.
Right.
So planning, doing your due diligence, your research, contracting if you're dealing with a vendor, how do you performance manage and monitor that program, and then how do you terminate that program? And so, again, I think a lot of people, the rocket builders, are good at the planning, or good at the building part of that.
Right.
Very few companies or organizations ever plan, and certainly almost nobody ever figures out what they're going to do when they have to exit.
Yeah.
So
because they don't believe that that's ever going to be an option that they need to explore.
Yeah, they're myopic. They don't necessarily think it, or it's going to be somebody else's problem because they'll be on to their next company. But that's a judgment call, right? What we're saying is, the answer of whether it's safer to go to the cloud or not, there's many factors involved that you have to have the wherewithal to want to pursue and understand. If we talked about moving to the cloud, I would tell you right now that for the majority of companies who are not technology related, moving to the cloud can be quote unquote safer. But what do you mean by that?
Right.
I would say most importantly is that the keys to the kingdom, the crown jewels, are safe. And that means that if I move to the cloud, key data, key intellectual property, can I trust that it's safer outside my control only via the cloud or on-premise? And that really has so many things to do with, you know, is your IT team mature? Is your information security team mature? Do you have the right data privacy officer? Go on and go on and go on. When we talk about the breaches from a few weeks ago, Deloitte, which at one point is considered the number one cyber consulting firm in the world, they admitted that their own internal IT team, the administrator managing all their other customers' data, didn't have the proper controls in place.
Right.
And so you and your company sold to your board of directors that it was better to move our data into Microsoft Azure managed by Deloitte. And not that it was necessarily Azure's problem, Microsoft's problem, but your Deloitte vendor didn't take any of the steps needed that they sell you.
Right. It's a policy and a procedure situation. It seems like it's a really big deal. And I think that's something that we're going to have to talk about in a future show, because there's a lot more nuance to this. But to answer the question, it depends whether it's really safe. And I think from the perspective of a lot of the larger companies that do have the asset consideration, that's a big deal. We've talked about some of our partners who we've used who can help with asset disposal if that's the consideration. That's one aspect of this whole thing. The cost consideration is another. The safety and data privacy is another. There's people related as well.
And this is for an upcoming show, but we have also the ability to determine whether it makes sense for you to stay in your data center or go back into your data center.
Yeah.
There are tools and techniques to tell you whether or not you are operationally efficient in your current situation so that you don't need to move to the cloud.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think we've talked a lot about the different challenges around not getting rid of people, but cost containment and cost control and risk management that we've, you know, espoused as a part of our solution practice. So what else do we want to bring up for a future show that we might want to discuss? This is a big deal, and I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to reach out to us on this one.
Well, I think they will, but I think even before a future show, I think back to how do you engage Guardian Insight Group. Call us at 1-888-388-6739 or reach us at gigsv.biz, gigsv.biz.
And that's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz. And we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. For questions or comments about today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. And be sure to listen again next week at this time for more Guardian Insights right here on this station.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.